Okay.
Let's just do the whole episode off the mic.
Yeah. So, hi, welcome to Offbeat Tracks.
Hi. We're already mid-conversation.
Yes, we were kind of mid-conversation. I was like, wait a minute, we're talking about the stuff we're about to record. Let me just push record and we'll get all this on. Right. We still say tape. I know it's a skeuomorph. It's fine.
It's a tape.
It's not actual tape. It's a small recording device, but...
I don't know how it works. It might be taped to me.
I know.
I don't know how it all works.
She just admitted I do all the work.
Well, this part, I don't know. I mean, I could maybe figure it out. I got like this voice memo thing on my phone. I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's tape.
Won't sound as good.
That's tape.
Anyway, hi, this is episode 120, and you know, since it's a divisible by 10 episode, we're doing a list today. And oh boy, do we have a fun one.
Oh boy.
You wanna explain this one? This was kind of your idea. It was a collab, but I think you were the one who brought the idea to the table. But go on, go ahead, explain it. I love it.
We are doing songs that get you pumped the F up. Pump up songs, which could be anything, depending on who you are.
Yeah, because people like, and there are a bunch of different reasons that one might want to get pumped, right?
I was thinking that too.
My favorite thing about doing these shows every time is coming to the table with, because Danielle and I do not share our lists before we do this. We share them with each other live on the mic because we love that. And I just love how a lot of times, even though a topic when we decide on it seems so straightforward at the time, we come to the table with such different interpretations of it. That's honestly my favorite part about doing these.
Yes. When we first like decided we were going to do it, I had this thing in my head because I always think about songs like that. And then I'm like, well, what kind of pumped up is it? Like, do you want, because I've got different pump up songs for different things.
Exactly.
Like if I want to feel hot and like sexy and pumped up, like I've got a whole thing there. But I'm like, is that really pumped up in this case? So then like I kind of switched it at the end. Like to me, like wanting to feel sexy in a pumped up kind of a way. Like,
okay.
Not like you want to do it, but like you want to like, you know, feel like you're strutting on a stage.
Okay.
Like that
but,
kind
so
of
So it could
thing.
Be but for any purpose. So not necessarily like to like was, woo a dude, which is sounds like how
no,
you came
No, just
into
feeling
it.
Hot, like feeling yourself kind of pumped up. Like it's not like a
word.
I'm going to seduce you tonight. It's just like, yeah, bitch, I'm hot.
Okay.
Strutting. But that's also not what I ended up doing because it was originally. And then this morning I was listening. I was in a better pumped up mood than when I started originally doing this.
Yeah.
I work too much. I'm very exhausted all the time. And so this morning I was just kind of like the coffee was hitting me just right. And I was like, oh, I'm in the mood to get this like pumped. And so then I changed everything significantly. So
we definitely have different or we definitely were thinking about this in different pumping up terms, because for me, I was coming at it with songs that get me energized.
Yes, that's what this ended up being.
That like, not necessarily like for work-related things. I know a lot of people think like, oh, I'm going to get pumped up before a job interview. I don't really get a lot out of that kind of use out of these songs. This is more like something I would listen to on my way to go do an escape room. Or like if I am getting ready to like, throw down in a video game with somebody and it's going to be something serious, you know, whatever.
You have
like
very niche ways of using your pumped upness.
Yes, exactly. or if I have to talk to someone who intimidates me, like back when I was single, maybe I would have listened to one of these, like if I was like going to talk to a hottie, but not like to feel sexy. It's more like just the energy flow.
Confidence.
Yeah, okay.
Mine ended up just being like, if I...
Confidence might be like, if we made the Venn diagram, confidence might be the center section. I'll take that.
Yeah. See, for me, what I ended up doing is more not so much like the confidence thing, but it's just if I'm in a tired mood, any sort of bad mood, whatever, I can put on these songs and it's going to boost my mood immediately. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to do a little shaky shake. I'm going to, you know, it forces me to completely change everything. It pumps me up to something out of the doldrums.
All right. I like it.
That's where I'm going.
So I feel like I always make you start. So how about I'll start today?
Okay.
Okay. So my number five, do you have these in any particular order? Because I do.
I do. But I mean, like, I'm not married to the order. Okay. I just did a quick order.
So yours is very loose fitting. Okay. All right. So
mine. It's an order, but I don't know how ordered.
Mine, I actually did a top five on this one, a 5-1. So my number five is a band that I have loved since an ex of mine introduced them to me in about 2005-ish. They, I really respect them because they were doing synth pop and electronic music at a time when it was very not cool to be doing those things. That being the late 90s into the 2000s. And this band, of course, is Boston's own Freeze Pop.
Ah, yes.
Who I love.
Know who you were talking about immediately.
yes, I love Freeze Pop very deeply. I'm very proud to call them friends now. This guitar behind me, my guitar, that's I bought that from them. That was Freeze Pop's guitar. Now it's mine. Yes, I love Freeze Pop. I think they're brilliant. And number five on my Getting Pumped songs is their song Brain Power. Nice. Which a lot of people know if they have played Rock Band back in the day. But Brain Power is just, it's like this very high energy. It's probably like the fastest song they do. And there's like some guitar in there. And you're just like, you're driving, baby. Like, I'm in a band. It's called Brain Power. And I've got my brain churning. And it's time for some brain power.
I like that. I'm in a band. It's like the Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I'm in a band.
If you're looking for a record at the mall, well, here's the thing.
I fell in love with this song. I heard it a million times before, about a year ago. And it was like when I was on a road trip and I was bored and I was tired and this song came on and I was like hearing things I'd never heard before out of it. And now it's like one of my favorite songs and I always play it when I want to get pumped up. It is from the self-titled Donna Summer album, 1982. Donna Summer, Love is in Control.
Love is in Control. Yes, baby.
It is like everything that's good about the early 80s Quincy. On like Thriller.
So agreed.
But like if Thriller was just this, like this is like the better version. And that like thing he came out with like a year ago and he was talking about like all the stuff on this album. He was like, basically we did Thriller first with Donna Summer and like nobody listened to it. And I was like, bitch, you did, right?
That is interesting.
That. Yeah. And I just love the song. It is like.
So we have to talk about the Chromeo version from like 2012-ish.
I didn't know they did a version.
What? You never heard this?
No.
Okay. So I'll put a clip of both in. I'll make sure I'll put Donna's original and then I'll edit in a clip of the Chromeo version as well.
I like Chromeo, but.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So a few years ago, there was a tribute album. I think it came out around 2012. Called,
when she died?
It was called, no. She died in 2009, I think.
I can guarantee it was 2012. It was right before I moved to Cincinnati.
Okay, so maybe this was after she. But anyway, there was a tribute album that came out called "Love to Love You, Donna," and it was all these artists came along and covered her songs. Mm-hmm. And Chromeo did "Love Is in Control," and their version of it is absolutely fantastic. I think it blows the original out of the water.
Whoa!
It is amazing.
I will listen to it at some point in. Be the judge of that one, but I love this song.
Your name is on the bullet, and it's getting ready to explode. There's been a change inside my life.
And I just wanna let you know.
There's Chromeo's version. What do you think of that?
It's pretty good, but one of my favorite parts about the original that I think is perfect is how like it just goes into it. Like you got that intro that's all slow and you're like, you know it's gonna do something. What is it gonna do? What is it gonna do? And then it pops all high.
Yeah,
energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's what I think my favorite part of the Donna Summer, and like I mean that's fun all the way through. Cool. I'm into it. I'm dancing. Great. But it takes away my favorite part of the Donna Summer song that I think makes the Donna Summer song better. And that's fine. They're both very good.
I remember I cracked a joke a few years ago about, like, you know, we were talking about, like, the gun culture of the United States. And it was like, you know, when right-wingers crack a gun joke, it's all about, hey, wouldn't it be fun to, like, murder people that I don't agree with? I was like, and, like, when liberals make a gun analogy, you get Donna Summer's Love is in Control finger on the trigger.
That is very true.
But, you know, it's true.
I was about to say, was a gun nut saying that? Because that's, like, the lamest gun thing you
right.
can do.
What I'm saying also, is there's a lot of false equivalency in this country.
The only gun thing I like.
Okay, so moving on. Boy, this is going to be a really esoteric. Like, there's going to be, like, one person listening to this podcast who goes, oh, my God, I can't believe someone else is still thinking about this song. So this is a song from, like, 2006-ish. And it's going to require a little background explanation. So back in 1999, there was this French group called Daddy DJ. Have you ever heard Daddy DJ?
I don't think so, but I like this.
All right, so Daddy DJ, as far as I know, only had one single, I think. I'm sorry if that's wrong, but Daddy DJ had a song called Daddy DJ, and it's really cute, and there's a cute little animated music video about, like, this little kid who, like, just wants to be with his dad, and his dad is a DJ.
This is a very French thing.
The song is like, Daddy DJ, please take me to the party, et cetera, et cetera. And then somehow the kid does some kind of voodoo and, like, gets sucked into, like, the record player at the house and then gets spit out at the club and is, like, is there with his dad or, like, I don't remember how he gets to the club. But anyway, like, then he gets to DJ with Daddy DJ. And, of course, everybody loves the little kids DJing. Anyway, it's cute. So that song was from 1999. Fast forward to 2006, and it gets reworked twice. One was by Bass Hunter for the song All I Ever Wanted. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the melody of that is Daddy DJ. Huh. But it also got reworked by this very bizarre DJ who calls himself Searle, which at the time LeetSpeak was a big thing. He spells it S-3-R-L.
I want to kill myself.
And anyway, it's called Pretty Rave Girl. And he did it, like, he upped the BPM and, like, just did these really, really hard, punchy synths and drum samples and everything. And it's this super, super high energy, just really in-your-face song. And I'm just, like, super here for it. By the way, I did look up, like, I was like, where did he get the name Searle? And I thought this was so funny. His real name's John. But apparently he, like, I think he's either Australian or British. I don't know which. But he's from a country that speaks in that sort of accent. And he had a relative. I couldn't remember if it was a cousin or a brother who called him an asshole all the time when they were kids. But, you know, like, British or Australian people say arsehole. But the kid, the kid, like, would mush his words and he'd say, John, you are Searle. So he took that and John, you are Searle. That's how he got his name.
Okay, now
isn't that absurd?
I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's no story that's going to make me like that name.
But yeah, so Pretty Rave Girl, this is like complete weeb nonsense. I was never a weeb, but I love this.
What is a weeb?
A weeaboo? Like a white American kid who really loves Japanese culture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not in that at all.
This is like raver weeb culture stuff from the mid-2000s when that stuff was like at its peak.
And I was ignoring it. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I had roommates who were into this stuff. I heard this song a lot. And this song always stuck with me. And I still love it. And it definitely gets me pumped because just like the BPM is so high. It's impossible. Like if you're driving and this comes on, you're just like, oh, yeah, let's go to a rave.
It's like, it's audio cocaine.
Yes, exactly.
I know this pretty pretty girl always think about her when she says I do, but a butterfly go right through me. And when I see her dancing, wanna take a chance and getting a little closer and maybe get to know her. I know this pretty pretty girl always think about her when she says I do, but a butterfly go right through me. And when I see her dancing, wanna take a chance and getting a little closer. I know this pretty pretty girl always think about her when she says I do, but a butterfly go right through me.
This was not on my list originally, and then yesterday I was listening to Christmas music because I'm trying to be in the spirit.
Oh boy.
And Do They Know It's Christmas came on, and you know, like, that any work I was doing was out. So then I was like, I gotta watch the video. I haven't watched a video in like a year, and then like I have a whole thing with it. And then I was like, oh, let's just forego work at all, like all of it, and just go on charity singles because I love a charity single.
Oh yes.
Because it's just my favorite. And then it ended up on what is my number four, and I realized, God, this is not only the best charity single, hands down, I've talked about it before on here, but also just this straight pump-up song, like, I want to change the world when Sun City comes on.
I knew
on.
It was going to be Sun
or
City.
Or United Against You Part, like, I had never realized until yesterday how much that song always pumps me up.
That like, drum track, no, that drum track owns on that song.
It's just so funky and so loud and out there, and it's just like,
yeah, and it's gonna play Sun City. It's like anti-racism, and you're just like, yeah,
like I want
you apartheid
take down. I remember being a kid, and I would hear this, and I had no idea what apartheid was or Sun City.
Right, right.
And I'm gonna be honest, even today, like I still read some stuff about apartheid, and I'm like, wait, what? Like I still don't get it, but I loved it. And I hated it back then. I still hate it. Fuck apartheid. I totally know what all of it was in
yes.
the history.
By it, she means the single. So we're clarifying that. Because you were like, I didn't know what apartheid was. I love it.
No, yeah, by it,
phrasing,
I love
phrasing.
The song. Yeah, no,
love
apartheid
song.
Is
no.
bad.
Apartheid can suck
all
it.
Apartheid is bad. But yeah, I just love this song. And it's a charity single, which is even cooler because all charity singles kind of are lame except for this one.
And I have to mention, though, as I believe I did last time this song came up on this show, the song is great. Until Bruce Springsteen sings.
Oh, it's him and his most constipated.
Yes.
Which, like...
He's really having a moment in this song.
I think if you like Bruce Springsteen, you have to acknowledge that he always sounds a little constipated. And this
it's basically
is
at
his
its worst
most
here.
Constipated.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
So I didn't really intend for two of the songs on my list to be like in such specialty nerd areas, but I just realized that's kind of happened here.
You're a pumped up kind of nerd.
Yeah, right. Well, it is fitting. I said I do like to listen to this like while I'm playing video games. So this one definitely makes sense for that. So back when the first Mortal Kombat game came out in 1992 or 3, somewhere in there, do you remember a group called the Lords of Acid?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes. A couple of guys from the Lords of Acid got hired by the team who made Mortal Kombat to make a concept album called Mortal Kombat the Album.
You just said so many words in that sentence that make me cringe, but go ahead, continue.
So they recorded an album as the Immortals, but really it was just a couple of the dudes from Lords of Acid. And they did a song in the style of each of the seven characters from the first Mortal Kombat game. So they were like, what if each of the characters like had a song? And Sonya Blade, the only female character in the game, I always played as her, of course, because I was a little queer kid and I wanted to be her. Her song is like the Pump It Up song. It's called Go, Go, Go. And like that right away should tell you. Yeah. So
you're going to want to go.
When you hear it, you want to go. You are ready to go.
Maybe they should have played it for Bruce Springsteen while he was constipated.
And well, my favorite
thing. It's a poop joke.
My favorite thing about it, too, is that the songs were very like with when you do nerd stuff like this, as I believe I've mentioned before, if you half ass it, it's cringy. But if you go all in on the nerddom and you like own it, way better. And these songs own that stuff. Like they literally talk like some of the lyrics in their songs talk about their special moves. Like one of her lyrics in this song is I can hit you with my sonic rings. Which is one of her moves in the first game.
That sounds like sex. I can hit you with my sonic rings.
Hey, there you go.
Can't you see the power in me? Can't you see I'm here with me, the lady with the energy? You will see the fire in me. Go, 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 go. Girls, stand up and fight. Go, go, go. Girls, who fight for their right. Go, go, go. Give them power tonight. Go, go, go. I get great power inside.
Okay, now this song, we're going to go back to the 90s Europop days. And there are so many of these songs that will pump you up forever. But this, to me, is the ultimate one because it's a song that drives and drives and drives in the same beat the whole time. It doesn't really move. Sometimes it'll slow down. You're like, oh, it's going to go somewhere else. And it's like, nope, we're just back on that beat.
Is it by chance Driving the Venga Bus? Is that where we're going here?
No. Oh, okay. Even more so. This is LaBouche's Be My Lover.
Oh, which yes. Cracks me good up one.
And is completely, like, it's just the same beat. Like, it's just, you know, whatever vocals, whatever. And it's like, you think it's going to change into something. And then it's like, no, actually the same beat.
Whatever vocals, literally is all 90s Euro house.
Exactly. And it just goes on the same thing. And it's like just the perfect beat and like the perfect kind of strong vocals that isn't like a strong, like singing vocal, but it's just that perfect.
Yeah.
Thing and there is no moment in music that maybe pumps me up more, no matter what's happening or how asleep I am, than I Must Confess.
Girl, yes, I want to be your lover.
Yeah, it's just so perfect and it will get me pumped no matter what, and I love it forever.
Go ahead and take your time, boy. You gotta feel secure.
So number two is a song that we have talked about on this show before and not terribly long ago, but I have to bring it back. And, I hate to gush again, but I love this. It's my second favorite song of all time. And to me, it's difficult to get more pumped than when I am listening to Carla DeVito's We Are Not Alone from the Breakfast Sound Club. The Breakfast Club soundtrack. This is the song from when the kids are dancing around the library in the end of the movie. And it just, like, it is high energy, it is rock, it is synth pop, it is all things 80s music that I love in this nice 3.5 minute package. And it's, like, these lyrics about togetherness and understanding people, and it's just, it's a wonderful experience.
It is a classic movie moment,
Yeah.
Where kids are dancing and it's fun and they're having the pumped upness and like, you know.
It's a classic movie moment that gets no.
Dumb dancing.
Right.
It's really cool.
It gets no recognition in terms of the song because everybody knows the Simple Minds song. Nobody knows the name of the Carla DeVito song, even though that's the one from the iconic scene in the movie.
I think so too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Similar to Flashdance, how nobody knows that it's Shandy's He's a Dream in the beginning with the splat. They all know Irene Cara's theme. Anyway, no disrespect. Carla DeVito, We Are Not Alone, pumps me the freak up.
Just imagine my surprise when I looked into your eyes. I knew right then I'd never let you go. We are not alone. You find out when you're covered alone, there'll be somebody there to break your bone. We are not alone. Cause when you're cut down to the bone, we're really not so different after all. After all, we're not alone.
So my final two, oddly enough, I didn't realize this until I ranked them earlier. Instrumentals.
Interesting. Okay.
That is. Anyway, that's just what happened, and I'm not changing it. Number two is one that you introduced me to, and it always just works, and I don't have to listen to it all the time, but I'm going to tell you what. If I want to wake up, I turn this on, and it is M&H Band's Popcorn.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's Popcorn's fine, whatever. Any version of Popcorn is fine. There are 1.5 million of them.
We could literally do an episode on the song Popcorn because there are so many versions of it.
There's like just, you know, I'm sure there's a YouTube playlist of all of them and you can just play them
for a
week.
There's a great website if you Google it. I think the website might just be like popcornsong.com or something like that. But this person has done a really, really nice detailed list of like all the versions of Popcorn that have ever come out. And I mean, there are so many.
Yeah.
The original, of course, Gershon Kingsley, 1968. And Gershon Kingsley, if you don't know who he is wonderful. He was like a jingle writer back in the day. He did like...
It sounds like a jingle.
Yeah. He did like really early experimental electronic music. And he wrote the Sprite jingle from the 60s, What Makes a Melon Ball Bounce. That was Gershon Kingsley. And he's got another really famous one that name is escaping me, but it's like used in a lot... I think it's called Powerhouse, maybe?
I
hope I'm not getting my wires crossed there. But if I remember correctly, this is like... one of those things that was, like, really common in old Looney Tunes cartoons. Anyway, Gershon Kingsley, he wrote Popcorn. But M&H Band's version.
And then 1.5 million people did covers of it, and they're all fine and whatever. They have a cover for it no matter what kind of music that you like. But M&H Band's, which I think was 87, it's a little French band who I don't know if they did anything else. I think they did. But they did an instrumental version of Popcorn that is so 1987. And it is, you know, just the iconic riff of Popcorn with just... great synth pop behind it, and it's just perfect. It doesn't need anything but that, and I love it.
And
every time.
Back in the days of peer-to-peer networks, this one was often misattributed to Kraftwerk.
Yes.
So if you were like searching for bands of like versions of Popcorn, you would see one, and you'd be like, Kraftwerk did a version of Popcorn? And
you,
no, they did not.
I had to ask you a few years ago who did it, because I remember my old MP3 version said Kraftwerk, and I knew it wasn't Kraftwerk.
Right.
It had been so long since I thought about it. I was like, I can't remember who it actually is, but it's just perfect and so pumpy.
Okay, so before we move on, a quick correction. I looked it up during that clip there, and I was wrong. It was not Gershon Kingsley. It was Raymond Scott who did Powerhouse. And if you don't know the clip I'm talking about, I pulled it up. Oh, so it's this. That little instrumental jobber. So I always get my wires crossed on that and think it's Gershon Kingsley. It was not. It was Raymond Scott. Anyway, no tweets, no emails on that one. Please.
Yeah, don't you.
It is not Gershon Kingsley. Okay.
Don't you... jingle trolls come at us.
Jingle trolls.
Jingle trolls. Jingle trolls.
Yes, it is tis the season, but not for you, jingle troll. Okay, so we're to my number one getting pumped up song. And originally, I had We Are Not Alone as my number one. But then I realized there actually is a song that in the last few years has supplanted We Are Not Alone.
And is it a slow jam? That'd be weird.
Is it a slow jam? No, it's not a slow jam. But no, I realized that this is a song that I mentioned earlier that it's something that I like to listen to when I'm on my way to do an escape room, because the first time I was ever going to do an escape room with my two friends who I always do those with, this song came up on shuffle and it's sort of become tradition. So now we always turn on this song on the way to escape rooms, and it's just sort of become this trope within my friend group that this is the getting pumped song. This is the let's get ready, let's go. And so this is like now, when I need to get pumped, this is my song. Do you remember Duck Sauce, who did Barbara Streisand a few years? Okay, so they had another song where they reworked a Melissa Manchester single from 1985, and her song was called Energy, but their version is NRG, just the three letters. And this is the pumping up song. I mean, like, this is the song that cranks you.
Melissa Manchester, honestly.
Have you ever heard this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Probably a long, long time ago.
No, I mean, this is
the Justice one? No.
No, not Justice.
Duck Sauce. Whatever. Duck Sauce. Duck Sauce. I always get them confused. Justice and Duck Sauce are the same to me.
That's fair. I think, I'm going to screw this up again, but Duck Sauce, I think one of the dudes is Armin Van Helden in Duck Sauce, right? And I can't remember.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I've never Googled their biography. They're just around to me.
They're just
a thing.
Why? They're so wonderful.
They're okay.
Well,
I never got into it.
To be honest,
I don't get mad if it's on.
I really wish A-Track, that's the other guy's name. I couldn't remember it. It just came to me. It's A-Track and Armin Van Helden. But they only did that one record, and it came out in like 2013, 2014. Yeah. And it had so many good tracks on it that were like really energetic and well done, well produced. And then again, we just have never heard from them again, which is really a shame. You remember Barbara Streisand, right?
Yes, it's fine.
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's fine. If it comes on, I'm going to dance, but I never listen
Energy
to it.
Energy was the better song, and I never understood why it didn't take off.
Melissa Manchester. She ruins everything.
Yes, exactly. And like Melissa Manchester. Melissa Manchester's original is great. And it was like from her album Mathematics, which did not do well. This was like toward the decline of her popularity, because she had had a big hit like about 3 years before the Mathematics album with You Should Hear How She Talks About You, which was kind of like her last big like pop hit.
Yeah.
And this was like their attempt to like kind of reinvent her as like a high energy or like a synth pop artist. And it didn't work very well.
Oh, it didn't.
But this was a great song. And Duck Sauce, clearly, like those two guys, they heard this and they heard something special and they worked it into something amazing, because they didn't really change too much about her song. They just kind of added some new drum samples. They sped it up. And they modernized it a little bit in that way.
But those are the best kinds of those.
Like, the core of it really is just the Melissa Manchester track and various little parts of it that they cut up and put in other places. But yes, it is totally a getting pumped song, and you will want to do aerobics the second you're listening to it.
Oh, okay. I like aerobic songs. Energy, you can do I'm going to try to explain this. This is me and what I love in my nerddom. And I think I would like to think I'm not the only person who thinks this is the most pumped up song of all time. It's an instrumental. It's a TV theme song.
Oh, boy. Wait. I bet I know what it is.
I'm going to tell you the fuck what. I grew up watching their show.
Dude.
Obsessed.
I'm already on board.
All the episodes when I was thinking about this morning, like I just purchased it on Amazon because I can't stream it anywhere because it's stupid. Everything's dumb. CBS All Access is not CBS All Access, by the by.
I am already on board, and I totally agree with you. This song rules. It gets me pumped.
Let's just go to Dallas immediately. The Dallas theme song is perfect. It is a perfect song. It is a perfect TV theme. It is a perfect show.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Miami Vice?
Of course.
Oh, I mean Miami Vice.
You were totally setting me up for Miami Vice.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think about that. Miami Vice is also a show I grew up with.
But no, Dallas works too.
Miami Vice is very good too.
Okay.
But to me, when it comes to what is in my heart and
the
soul,
Dallas TV theme.
Dallas. And I love it, and I always have.
All right.
And I think it's like a childhood thing. It was like my favorite show. I'd watch with my mom when I was a little kid, so I'd get pumped up because I'm like, Dallas is coming on. I think that's part of it too. And like, I don't know, I just love Dallas. And I wish that everybody could stream it because it's much better. And the remake was stupid because it wasn't real Dallas. And I love it. And it always gets me pumped. And I can't explain it other than that. Like, I just love Dallas, and I love this theme song. And one time I drove through Dallas, and I played this on repeat.
Who composed it? Do you?
I looked up his name earlier because I couldn't remember. It was some guy who did TV stuff, and I can't.
Some guy who did TV. All right, I'm looking it up. Anyway, finish your story. I drove
through Dallas,
uh-huh.
And I didn't stop, but I just listened to this on repeat the whole entire time, and it was annoying, and I loved every second of it. I love Dallas.
Wow, Dallas premiered in 1978.
Yeah.
I did not realize. Yeah.
I also have the 45 for Gary Burbank's novelty hit "Who Shot JR," which is a real thing. And last week,
Gary Burbanks.
My silly. Just
think of him as that guy with the mole on Match Game.
my silly dude was over at my house looking at all my mom's 45s, which is one that my mom had when she was like a kid and a teenager, was the Who Shot JR. And he was listening to it. And I was in the other room and I came out and I'm like, what are you doing? Are you listening to the Dallas? He was like, what is this about? And I was like, do you want me to tell you all about Dallas? Because I will. And he was like, no, I'm going to turn this off now. And I was like, that's probably for the best. But I love Dallas, and I love this song. And everyone should, too, because it's the best theme song.
So that was composed by a fella named Gerald Immel.
Yeah, I remember his name was stupid when I looked it up.
Okay. he also did the theme song from Voyagers. So
I don't know what that is.
There you go. Gerald Immel and his Dallas theme. Daniel's number one getting pumped up song. It's very interesting. So
I just love it.
Very interesting list, and we definitely approached it differently, but that is why I love doing these.
We all get pumped by different things, and we have to...
And you only have to wait 10 episodes for another one.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
That's right. So thank you for getting pumped with us this week. We're going to be back with a standard episode next week. We're talking about an album next week, which I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. We haven't done an album episode in quite some time.
Yes.
So looking very forward to that. So I think in the meantime, we've gotten some getting pumped to do, don't we?
Yeah, sounds like it. We're going to get so much done today.
All right.
So
we should post this playlist, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll just be, everybody will be so excited.
If you want to see this playlist, our YouTube playlist that we always put together, it's on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
We're also on Twitter, where you can tweet us, not the jingle trolls, though.
Yeah, no jingle trolls.
At offbeattracks.
Yeah, so tell us what you like to listen to get pumped up, because I always love hearing the audience answers on these
totes,
as well. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.